paranormal experiences don't really work to a timescale, and therefore, we invite you to listen to a dark minisode. Hello everyone, and welcome back to another dark minisode for season 19. I hope you all enjoyed our video venture for Dark Realms this week, and the audio, if you've just got the audio and didn't see the YouTube video, I'm aware that that's a bit off from its standard quality. So I'll be working on that this week to make sure that it's fine for next week and moving forward. But genuinely, thank you for everyone who's given feedback about the video, and it seems to have gone down pretty well. For a first attempt, hopefully it will only get better from here on out. But of course, let's move on to the reason why we're here, our appetizer before our main course on Friday, this week's Dark Minisode. And we already know the submitter for today, because we featured them in a main episode from Season 18. So, today's email goes like this. Hi Kev, as promised, I've decided to write in to share more of my stories. You featured me on Season 18, Episode 6, The Sixth Scent, in which I shared two stories, featuring a haunted Victorian building and also the terrifying experience of smelling a malevolent spirit in my car. So, moving on from them, I will try to cover a few more stories for you today. I think the next time I experienced something strange was when I was in my early 20s. My sister was going away on holiday and had asked me to stay in her flat to look after her cat and new kitten. I readily agreed, to give me a break from arguing with my dad. As flats go, it was old but comfortable. It was your typical student pad with garishly painted walls. By day, it was pleasant enough, and on the occasions I had visited her at night, there were usually people there, as my sister frequently had parties. The night before my sister left, she had some mates around, and we stayed up drinking and playing board games. I got a bit tipsy and headed to bed in the spare room, where I passed out and had an uneventful night. The next day consisted of dropping my sister off at the airport and then going to work. My shift finished up after dark, and as I headed back to my sister's flat, I was just ready to head to bed, hopefully snuggled up with those cats. Arriving at her flat, I was greeted by friendly little meows, and at first, everything was fine. I fed them, and then started to get myself ready for bed. It wasn't too long, though, before the unease started setting in. Something just felt off about the place, and I started to feel very uncomfortable. I just had that creeping feeling, the one you get where you can sense someone watching you, out of nowhere. I also started feeling very negative, mostly about myself. I felt like this blanket of oppression had descended on me, and I needed to get out as soon as possible. I searched through my sister's flat until I found a box. I gathered my things, I put the cats in the box, and I got the hell out of there, driving back home to my parents' place. Even though I arrived late, they were night owls who stayed up watching TV until the early hours. They were surprised to see me, panicked and carrying my sister's freaked out cats. They were none too happy about me bringing the cats home, and also that my imagination had run away with me again. All I could feel, though, was pure relief to be in the safety of my own home, where the negative thoughts and the oppressive feeling had completely disappeared. My sister was also not happy when she phoned the next day to see how the house sitting was going, only for me to tell her that I'd done a runner with her cats in the night. She called me stupid and told me that her flat wasn't haunted. Maybe it was stupid of me, but I just didn't want to stay there a second longer. my senses, my gut, always steer me in the right direction. So I trust it. A year or two passed after this, and I found myself accepted into a training course for an international travel company of some repute. This company was famous for providing amazing European adventures to young travellers from around the world. Being a big personality, I figured that becoming a tour manager would be my dream job. In order to get this job, though, I had worked for months researching and submitting a comprehensive assignment covering the socioeconomics, history, geography, and culture of each Euro country. Then I needed to fund my travel to London to begin my training trip, which would take several months to complete, as we were to travel the company's longest itinerary. During training, we'd be randomly called up to the front of the coach to talk about whatever the trainers wanted us to talk about. City tours, history, art, souvenirs, anything. The worst thing that you could do was to stand up and say nothing. You always had to have something to say, or you would be ripped to shreds. The trainers were a seasoned tour manager and driver, but unfortunately, they also both happened to be ex-military and ran their training trip like their own personal army boot camp. They were sadistic. Their favourite forms of torture were regular humiliation and sleep deprivation. Their goal? To break the weak. We spent a week in Paris alone, travelling around the city every night, giving the Paris city tour where we were expected to be able to perform it blindfolded and into the wee hours of the morning. We needed to know buildings, dates, facts, history, anything and everything about the city. If we got it wrong, we were ridiculed and shamed. We were training for our dream job after all. We had to be the best of the best, because it would be our job to be responsible for coachloads of 51 young people, exploring Europe for the first time. It needed to be the highest quality. If we didn't make the cut, then we'd be out. Of course, I didn't have a clue that it would be an absolute nightmare of a training trip when I naively bought my one-way ticket to England. I had next to nothing in my bank account, but stupidly, I just thought that when I got through training, I'd make money then. It soon became apparent, though, that things were not going to go as planned. People were getting kicked off the trip daily. I was getting picked on frequently, and I felt like I had a target on my back. Before this trip, I had always had the gift of the gab and hadn't really experienced real hardship. So this mental torture was a real shock to my naive little soul. My ADHD made staying focused and organized particularly hard, and the trainers seemed to take pleasure in targeting me. I lived in constant fear of being left behind at the side of a road, and by the time we hit the Eastern Bloc countries, I was a mental wreck. Halfway through the training trip, we'd spent the day in the reconnaissance of Prague, finding out a plethora of information about where to find things in the city. When we returned to the coach, the pickup point, I was panicked because I hadn't been able to find out all of the information. That's when I caught wind of a rumour that our accommodation had fallen through, and that we'd need to cross back into the border with Austria to stay there. By this time, we were all completely paranoid. Rumours swirled on a daily basis. We weren't sure if this was the latest trick to destabilise us, lulling us into a false sense of security, before they pounced on us to give a full talk on Bohemian history or some such thing. When the coach eventually pulled up, I got inside and immediately started panic studying, convinced it was the latest in a long line of sick games that these trainers were playing. Eventually, though, they fessed up. Yes, there had been a mix-up with the accommodation, and we would be staying in an Austrian Gasthof for the night. It was not one of their usual accommodations, as it was a last-minute thing. They told us we were free to do as we liked until we got there. Still feeling like it may be a trick, I kept studying for a while before giving up and staring out of the window at the dark night passing by. I felt like crying, but I was too exhausted and empty for even that. My eyes remained blank and dry. I felt lower than I had my entire life. I kept questioning, why am I here? I'm so stupid. I can't keep up with these people. They're so much smarter than me. Why are they stringing me along? When are they going to throw me off? I'm worthless. I felt like a child again, being broken by my first ever teacher, being made to feel small. Where had my confidence gone? This was supposed to be my grand European adventure, and would I be returning home a failure? We arrived at the Gasthof in complete darkness. I've no idea what the time was, but it was late. We trudged up to our rooms, exhausted both mentally and physically. My roommate was a girl who'd previously been a science teacher. I'd previously been a drama and English teacher, so we were like chalk and cheese. I actually found her rather irritating most of the time. That night, though, I couldn't have cared less who I would be sharing my room with, or bed. I just felt dead inside. In Austria, they have these funny beds, like one king-size bed frame containing two single beds side by side. We were to share this bed. My roommate, let's call her Kay, decided to lie down and go straight to sleep. But I just couldn't. I was still paranoid about what fresh horror the trainers would inflict on us the next day. So I kept the side light on and kept studying. And this is where I'm unsure what happened next. Let's have a quick break to ask you a personal question. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. Our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare. You would not believe the amount of things that can mess with our hormones. Even nature likes to put us through hormonal changes, premenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean you're meant to suffer through it. And the good news is, you don't have to suffer through it anymore because we now have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement, it's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony sells every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their over 30,000 plus reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DARKPARANORMAL at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DARKPARANORMAL for 15% off today.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I think at some point I must have fallen asleep, but I can't be sure. I remember suddenly feeling the most horrible, evil, terrifying sensation. Everything was dark, but I don't remember how it became so, because I hadn't turned off the light. I remember, though, lying semi-reclined in the bed and I was awake. I was lying on the right-hand side of the bed. Kay was on the left. And across the room, to the left, was the door to the room. And there, standing by the door, was a figure. Blacker than black. It was nothing but a black, faceless, person-shaped void. It stood there, radiating malevolence so powerful that my body just froze, overcome with horror. It felt like it had a male energy, but it also felt like it was ancient and demonic. I felt pure evil coming off it in waves. And then it started moving towards the bed. Even though it was dark, I could see its movements. It sort of pulsed. Maybe there was a greenness to it, around the edges? Similar to how you've described things in the past, Kevin. Not quite the rainbow effect on a calculator. For me, it was more like when you stare at a light and then look away. You can see the image pulsing. That's as close as I can describe it. Like a retinal pulse. I still find it confusing how I was seeing everything. Was it light and dark at the same time? I don't know. All I do know is that the rest of the room seemed inconsequential, like it had disappeared altogether because all of my attention was honed in on that shadow creature. It was all I could see, and it had me. It stopped at the end of the bed, and I think it sensed my fear and gave it some sort of pleasure, because I instinctively knew that this thing was amused and smiling. It was feeding off my fear. "Kay," I whispered, panicked, to my bedfellow. She mumbled something back but did not wake up. I knew there and then I was going to be facing this alone. She would be no help. The creature reached down to the bed and put one of its hands on my ankle. I went rigid, feeling the pressure. Complete terror washed over me as its other hand grabbed my other leg. I could feel it slowly climbing up my body. I didn't know what to do. I was petrified. "Fuck off," I squeaked. My voice strained and tight. I was reeking of fear at this point. My hands were tightly clutching the bedding to my chest. It paused in its movement, teasingly, but then, almost like it was gloating, it resumed. Just then, some small part of me felt personally affronted by it. It was underestimating me, just like everyone always did. I was stronger than it knew, and I would fight it if I had to. Maybe it was because I'd been going through all this hell on the training trip, and this latest incident was just rubbing salt in my wounds. But suddenly I was really angry. Like, really angry. Furious. I remember sitting up in bed with every intention to rip this demon's smug, faceless face off with my bare hands. I screamed in its faceless face, "F the F off!" And just like that, it stopped, paused a moment, and then it was like some energy sucked it right out of the room, through the door, gone. The room was suddenly bright again. The bedside lamp was on. "Jeez, Nat," Kay said grumpily from my side. "What are you yelling about?" "Did you not see that?" I asked. "See what?" I explained to her what had happened. But she was a true skeptic and just told me to go back to bed. But I don't think I got much sleep after that. I do remember the next day that I was wired, totally freaked out. I told some of the girls with whom I was close to about what I'd experienced in the night and how I'd barely slept. Some of them said that I'd probably just fallen asleep from the exhaustion and had a nightmare. I denied that this could be a possibility, as I was convinced I hadn't been asleep when it happened. After breakfast, I headed back to the room to get my stuff, and I saw a hotel employee in the hall outside. So, I asked her directly if the room was haunted. She sort of gave me this funny, almost knowing look, laughed, and walked away. Now, in all honesty, that could have been the language barrier. But I got the impression that maybe I wasn't the first person to have encountered this thing in that room. So, was it all a dream? If it was, then it was the most vivid dream I've ever had. It affected me for quite some time after. The fear was too impactful, too visceral. I will never forget it. I do have hypnagogic hallucinations at times, so I know exactly what they're like. I can always look back and go, yep, that was definitely a hallucination. Because later, when I'm conscious and with it, I can see more clearly, and I can tell what was real and what was not. I usually feel some level of embarrassment and humour after I've hallucinated. Usually because I've dragged my husband along for some delusional ride in the night. But with this one, it doesn't feel the same. It feels like I was awake, and it was very real. Also that I was absolutely terrified in that moment. And also, I felt no embarrassment either for disturbing Kay. If you were to ask me what was the scariest moment of my life, hands down, this would be it. The reason for me explaining the circumstances of my training trip in such detail was so that you, as listeners, can understand how low I felt due to the mental torture. I was young and optimistic, and I wasn't prepared to have my self-esteem ripped apart in the way it was. It weakened me, weakened my boundaries, and made me visible to the other side. I was not mentally strong enough. I was being systematically beaten down and tortured. I feel that I was a prime candidate because I was not in a good mental place. Definitely not my usual happy-go-lucky self. I was so tired and fearful that evil shadow person was probably licking his lips as soon as I walked in the room. It's funny that before I'd listened to your podcast, I always felt intuitively that this was the reason this experience happened. I've since come to learn through your show that this is a commonly held belief in the paranormal world, and that I'm not alone in this. There is a silver lining to this story, though. I feel proud of myself. That it couldn't break me. That I found my inner strength and conquered my fear of it. And after that night, I kind of got a second wind and was able to not only complete the training trip, but to stay on in that company for almost 5 years. One of those psycho trainers told me later on that I was never going to be kicked off, because no matter how much crap they threw at me, I kept getting up. I was to be the example. Yeah, thanks for that, a-hole. Oh, and although I never visited that Gastoff again, it did make a fantastic story for my clients. For those years I spent touring, my story inspired what would become my infamous ghost story nights that I would conduct either in Germany or Austria. Perhaps after a night drinking Riesling in a witch's cellar on the Rhine, and discovering a secret attic space in our hotel to climb into, or relaxing outside on a warm summer evening in the Austrian foothills, we, my clients and I, would gather. We would drink steins of beer into the night and share our most terrifying tales of the paranormal. Even the skeptics would come and enjoy the chat and the spooky atmosphere. Because as humans, this is what we've been doing for millennia. Sitting around and telling stories, whether the stories are believed or not. Kev, to me, you're like a tour manager of the paranormal. Thanks for taking us on this crazy ride and helping us tell our stories, and with shared experiences, learning that we're not alone. Thanks once again for taking the time to read this, Kevin. I will write again with more stories soon, Nat. Well, Nat, thank you so much for providing this week's Dark Minisode. That is one hell of a story, literally. And I don't know about a tour guide, But I am certainly happy that people are using this podcast or have found this podcast as some way to find out they're not alone in their paranormal experiences. You are completely right in what you say about sharing experiences and the importance of it. I entered the paranormal podcasting world. I always say nobody is an expert in the field, and I stand by that. But I think I had a fair bit of knowledge behind me about previous stories, famous events, like most of you. But it's now becoming a weekly occurrence that somebody, even on this email you've sent through, Nat, will provide me with a theory or idea in regards to a paranormal event that I've never heard of or considered before. For example, in your email here, where you discussed the idea that you were mentally broken down so much, your boundaries came down enough for this shadow creature to attack. Yes, we've all heard encounters where people say they were at their lowest ebb when a paranormal event happened, and maybe there was a connection there, but I've never personally thought that, for example, bullying could lead to somebody having a paranormal event. There's a very real phenomenon called the Dunning-Kruger effect, which is when somebody believes they're an expert in something, and therefore their confidence in that subject is sky high, and then they realise they're not. And so their confidence dips, and they slowly learn just how vast was their gap in knowledge on that particular subject. And as they learn more and more, they gradually reach a plateau, where they kind of have an understanding of the subject. And with a topic like the paranormal, you're better off on that plateau or even in the lower part of confidence. Because for a topic that can't be proven, there can be no experts. And although I've held that view for a long time, the point I'm trying to make is, although I didn't consider myself an expert by any stretch, I did think I knew more than probably the average person on the street, therefore started a podcast. And receiving your experiences have placed me firmly in that valley, and I feel like I'll never stop climbing up towards that plateau, but it's a very humbling and wonderful feeling. Because if you truly love a topic such as the paranormal, you want to hear things that you haven't heard before. You want to hear theories you've never considered before. And you always want to learn something new, a new idea, a new take on things. So Nat, thank you so much for providing just that. And as ever, if you have your own experience, send it in to contact@thedarkparanormal.com. And until next time, stay safe and take care.